This is Fresh Air. The record industry may be acting like they've just discovered Seattle and the thriving rock and roll scene in the Pacific Northwest. But rock historian Ed Ward says loud guitars and snotty attitudes are nothing new there. He says that part of the country has been putting its own spin on the rock and roll mainstream for over 30 years, including this latest hit.
Ah, yes, the record we're all tired of hearing these days. The record that has sent countless talent scouts to the Pacific Northwest, hoping that the constantly falling rain has inspired other bands to write a Nirvana-sized hit. But, as some of us already know, they've been making great records in the Seattle area for years. The first band to go national from the Seattle area formed, appropriately enough, around a waterproofing company. Don Wilson and Bob Bogle met at Sahara Waterproofing and almost immediately discovered that they were both guitarists. After a weekend of jamming together, they found some other guys and the Ventures were born, a band that was responsible for selling more guitars than anybody else in the pre-Beatle era. When Walk Don't Run went to the top of the charts in 1960, it opened up the floodgates. Curiously enough, instrumental music was a big part of the Northwest scene. Paul Revere and the Raiders began their career with an instrumental hit, Like Long Hair, and, at least until they turned into television stars in 1965, included lots of instrumentals in their live shows. And over in Tacoma, there were the Wailers, the first Northwest group to have an instrumental hit, Tall Cool One, in 1958. But in 1963, it was a record with a vocal, one you couldn't really understand, that made the Northwest notorious. Revere and the Raiders had discovered the obscure Richard Berry record Louie Louie, but it was the Kingsmen who had the hit with it, and they slogged around fraternity parties for the next 20 years playing it. After vocals, the next major discovery around Seattle was attitude. Certainly we can blame the Rolling Stones, but I don't think anybody perfected attitude in this country like the Sonics did. Unfortunately, the Sonics were too hardcore for AM radio in those days and only enjoyed local success. And by 1967, when the Daily Flash appeared on the scene, the paranoid rumor was that it was their name that kept them off the radio.
Take me to the night I'm dreaming, topsy-turvy, turning upside down. Hold me close and whisper what you wish, for there is no one here around.
More likely is the 20-second blast of feedback noise that opened one of their singles, Jack of Diamonds, and the wimpy reading they gave Eric Anderson's Violets of Dawn that did it. But after that, Seattle was a wasteland for a long time. The best it could do in the 70s was stuff like this. Interviewing Heart, in fact, was what got me to Seattle for the first time, but I'll admit it, I could never stand their music. If only I had known there was more than that happening in the late 70s. The Wipers were one of a group of Northwest bands that never got heard during the punk explosion, paving the way for today's crop, like Soundgarden, the fabulous Walkabouts, and, of course, the guys who made the record we're all tired of hearing, Nirvana.
Ed Ward writes for the Austin Chronicle. This is Fresh Air.